This is a boy, I guess he's in probably about 10 years old, maybe 11. Upstairs, Fairview Baptist Church, in the old wing. That was in phase two of Fairview many years ago. He's setting up, and they used to have departments for all of the kids. You know, you come in, you have department time. So as all the teachers walk in, then all of a sudden Mr. Stevens walk in. Young man, probably in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. He walks in, and there's an empty chair right in front of this teenage boy. Not teenage boy, this boy is maybe 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. He walks in, Mr. Stevens walks in, and all of a sudden, what came over this little boy? Mr. Stevens is about to sit down, and all of a sudden he reaches out there and he pulls the chair back. And Mr. Stevenson hits the ground. What possesses me? That boy to do that. You know, I kind of wonder what's in it. I mean, now I was saved. That boy was saved when he was 9 years old, but there was just something that possessed him. And you know what Mr. Stevenson did? He had the audacity. He got up off the floor, turned around, looked at me, stuck out his hand, and he shook my hand, and then he sat down. Why in the world would a boy ever do that to a man that never did anything to him? What? Did y'all ever do anything like that? Okay, it's not time for confession, but I think I found out part of the reason over in Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 16, I like to read to you this morning, Galatians chapter 5, as we're in part 2 of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, and I'm going to read a full section right here just to kind of keep these things in context so I can begin to try to understand some of this stuff of how to walk straight on a crooked road. In verse 16 it says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like." That's where you pull out the chair from your teacher, okay? "And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Looking at this passage of Scripture, I began to try to wonder what really is going on inside of that boy who did such a thing like that. And so as I began to think about this, I look at there's two sides, and this is kind of a fallen man on the screen coming up. Yeah, there we are. And the fallen man, because, you know, I read about the works of the flesh. Inside of us, we have this area that's really going after us. You see on this dark side, Darth Vader, is that his name? You know, Darth Vader, you know, there's something inside of that. Was there anything ever good in Darth Vader? Ah, yes, there was something that was way deep down inside of him. Although on the outside, it looked like everything was terrible. You know what? Inside of us, where you are today, there is a side that focuses in on what is sinful, what's the old man, what's the old nature. If we begin to look at that, it's the works of the flesh that really begin to kind of capture things. So wait a minute. You might ask yourself the question, have I gone beyond that? Let's get an opinion poll. Have you gone beyond that side right there? Is that side gone? This means yes, this means no, this means I don't know. What do you think? Have you gone beyond that side? Okay, let's find out if you've actually gone beyond that side. Because on the second side, we're going to see the saved man. On the saved man, you're going to find there's a new birth. And that means when there's a new birth, all of a sudden there's a divine nature inside of you. Something good. Something born again. It may be real deep down inside of you, but there's something that's good inside of you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So brand spanking new, you see what you're looking like. There's this divine nature, and that allows you to walk in the Spirit. Does that sound good? We got a little problem right here. Y'all know what the problem is? Next slide. Do you see what's happening? This is us. There is a silver war that's going on inside of us. There's the old man and there's the new man. There is that sinful nature and then there's this new nature. There is the flesh and there's the spirit. And folks, the battle is on. I remember an Indian one time who talked about he had a white dog and he had a black dog, he said, inside of him. And the man said, well, which one wins? And he says, the one I say, sick 'em to. You know, that made a lot of sense to me. Because sometimes it's the one that we say, sick 'em to, is the one that's going to win in this civil war. So the fact about the matter is, it would be nice if when we became a new creation, that old man just disappeared. But he doesn't. Excuse me. The old man doesn't go away. He's still there. That's the reason why you have so much trouble, is because these old desires are in conflict. And the things that you don't want to do, you do. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. That which I don't want to do, I do. And that which I want to do, I don't do. Is there any help? And the answer is yes. The help is in Jesus Christ. So we got to say, we need some help with this civil war that's going on. So we move the health in the form of the Trinity. Because in the first part of the Trinity, we see God the Father coming into focus. God the Father who created the world. God who loves us so much. In fact, you see God's love kicking in here because it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, the Creator, where's God now? We think about God being in heaven. But God gave to us Jesus, the Son. And so Jesus comes in, and we see now what did Jesus do? He lived, He walked, He exemplified, He was Spirit-filled, He was Spirit-guided, He taught to us about what can happen with a Spirit-filled life, and Jesus Christ healed the sick, raised the dead, caused the blind to see. Jesus Christ came, and He's part of that pie that's going to help us overcome. So what did He do? Jesus gave His life for us. You see, as God gave us Jesus, Jesus gave us His life. Now, something that Jesus said though, He said, when I depart from here, I am going to send back one. He was talking about the Comforter. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. So you see, He sends God the Holy Spirit. He comes back, and now the Scripture says that He will guide you in all truth. Remember that crooked road that we're traveling? The Holy Spirit is the one that will guide you on that crooked road to help you go straight. So how does all of this fit together? All of it fits together in what we call the Trinity. We see there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you are in that civil war, when that battle's going on, you got to look to the real source. And the real source will come along and He will help you. The Father sent the Son. The Son gave His life. And the Son sent the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit will take you hand in hand to carry you on that journey. Now, when that begins to happen, where do we go from there? We see that what happens is that God has done something very special for us. He's given to us what is known as the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, I'll give anybody an A+ that can tell me what those colors represent up there. You want me to give you a hint? Roy G. Biv. A rainbow. Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow. That's how I memorize the rainbow. Okay, all right. So therefore, we think about the rainbow colors being, wait a minute, being the Holy Spirit. How is that? The colors don't mean anything. But what means something is we are having a civil war, and there's two natures that are in fighting inside of us. We've got to get a grip on it, or we will not walk straight. So therefore, what has to happen is the Holy Spirit comes in and He dwells within us. Now, how much of the Holy Spirit is in us? All of us. All of Him. He dwells within us. So therefore, because He's dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit produces something significant. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. Now, inside of this fruit, what you're looking at one cluster. But it's like that pie up there. It's all of this is dwelling inside of you. Now, sometimes it's a little bit hard to see it, but let's look at the first one that's dwelling inside of you. We've got love. We've got joy. We've got peace. I mean, let's go back to that other screen. The one with all the... Back up one. Can we back up? There we are. All right, now, in looking at this, when you see Johnny Boy, which one do you see up here? Oh, you see all of them? Okay. All right. You know what, Johnny Bo? You got them all, man. Isn't that pretty neat? He's not only a fish, he's got all the kind of fruit you want. Okay. So as we think about it, you know, and that's who you are. Now ask yourself, am I long-suffering? Am I gentle? Am I kind? Do I love? Am I faithful? Am I under self-control? Am I temperance? Or is it? Do you see that in you? What do you think about it? Just for a moment. Does that really describe you? What would you think? Or do you have some trouble in some of those areas? A little trouble in any of the areas? Well, let me tell you, I have trouble in several of these areas, okay? I mean, it was like when I was sitting in the Sunday school class and I had a pocket full of balloons and I pulled out one of those balloons and Mr. Alexander said, "Son," they give me the balloon. So I reached over there and I gave him a balloon. He turned his back, pulled out another one. And you know what he did? He took that balloon. He turned around. And I brought out another one. And you know what? That's been about 40 years ago. But anytime I see Bobby Ward, you know what he says? "There's my old balloon, buddy." You know, it's just something. Because I have trouble with some of these areas. Because what do these areas mean when I begin to break them down? The first area that when we begin to break them down, we think about love. Now, what is love? Oh, love is a neat one. Love, if you begin to break down love, what is love? I look upon love as being love is bears the characteristics of Christ. Love is an action word, not passive. It acts. It's not acted upon. It's a prime mover. We are never more like Christ than when we love. It is unselfish, loyal, benevolent, well-being. And because this is Valentine's week, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to see if Arnie qualifies here for Valentine's Day. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're talking about love. We're talking about what's inside of you. What is really there? What's that characteristic that will help you in that civil war? What's that characteristic that will turn your life around? What's that characteristic that will help you on the marketplace, in the home, with family relationship, with family members? Let me read you some of these things. In verse 13, I'll pick it up with one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass, a clinging cymbal. Although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Do you get the point? What is love? If you don't have love, you're what? You're nothing. You're nothing. Now, what is this that you got? Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Tracy, did he pass? Whoa! All right. He passed on that because that is love. Is that the kind of love that you have? Is that the character? In fact, if you think about those characteristics, those are the characteristics of the Lord Jesus. If you think about it. And so therefore, if we're going to be that type of believer, then that is the direction in which He wants us to go. Now the second word that we look up there is find joy. Now joy is one of those unique things. Do you have joy? Now if I said joy, let me give you a scenario. You go out there and you do good. And you try to help people. And all of a sudden, when you're helping some people, the authorities come and they put handcuffs on you. They take you and they lure you down into a dark, nasty, rat-infested, gloomy area. Nastiness all around you. Do you have joy? Oh, but listen. Listen. All of a sudden, you hear these two guys start singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I don't know what they were singing, but this is what I do know. Paul and Silas, they were singing down in there. And all the other prisoners were listening. And all of a sudden, there was an earthquake. And the door swung wide open, but nobody left. Why did they do that? The Scripture says, because of the joy of the Spirit. You see, when circumstances are tough, it's the joy of the Spirit. That it doesn't matter what's going on around you. I like to talk about it being like the eye of the storm. You know, man, you can look up and you see chickens flying around everywhere. But all of a sudden, right there in the eye of the storm, there's peace. That's what God does. You can have joy right there in the middle. So you see there's love. And you see that not only is there love, but there's joy. And this joy is reaching out right there. It's the calm delight in the face of affliction. It's gladness of heart. 1 Thessalonians says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit." Now, when the joy kicks in, something else starts coming around, and that's peace. Oh man, what some people would pay for peace. And what is peace? Peace is oneness with God. It sets one again after you know, after you've been divided, after your life's been tore up, and after you've been going in many different directions, and all of a sudden you feel like, man, I just can't get it all together. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit kicks in and there is peace. It's a quietness of the Spirit. It's a rest in the midst of the storm. It's a calm, quiet, stillness, tranquility, silence, harmony. Paul and Silas and Timothy, he wrote in 1 Thessalonians, to the church in Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. I like the idea, you're set. Peace means you're set at one again. See what I mean? You're at peace. You're not divided. You're not in chaos. You're not in uproar, but you're one again. Now, when you look beyond that, though, something that's deep inside of Johnny Bo, there's long-suffering. And what is this long-suffering? Long-suffering is the fortitude to keep the right attitude. I like that. It's the fortitude to keep the right attitude. It's made after the real stuff. Has anybody seen that movie called A Smile in the Moon? I believe that's what it's called. Where these special need children go to NASA or go up to Huntsville where we went. It's a good movie. Okay. But one of the things it brings out, after the whole week, they have judges that are going around and they said they were looking for something. Something that was not technical. Something that was not on the charts. It was something about leadership, who encouraged one another, who helped one another, and stayed focused during that whole week. And they called it the right stuff. Folks, that's what long-suffering is. When you got the right stuff that's going to help you go through the course of the time, stay there. Long-suffering. That means you got courage and vigilance and guts. You got staying power. I call it true grit. Okay? Y'all remember movies? Okay, I'll get off the movies. Anyhow, true grit. Long patience. But there's something else that's going on inside of this person, and that's kindness. Now, kindness is usefulness in the presence of obstacles, opportunity, and opposition. Kindness. It's like in 2 Corinthians 6:4, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of the gospel, in much patience, tribulation, in needs and distresses and stripes, in imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleepiness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet known, as dying yet behold we live, as chastened yet not killed, as sorrowful yet rejoicing, as poor yet many rich, as having nothing yet possessed everything. 2 Corinthians 6:4 through 10. So what are you looking at? Kindness is that gentleness in that relationship that you're able to stay there sympathetic, compassionate, and you really, really care. People will not listen to you until they realize you really care. But when you show kindness, you really care, then they'll listen to you. And then there's another one called goodness. Goodness. Goodness, goodness is at the heart of virtue. It's beneficent. It is a quality of being good. It's virtue. It's kindness. It's good in part. Let me just read another scripture. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, it says, therefore we are also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of His calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of His goodness, His goodness, and the work of faith and power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and in Him according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Goodness. Virtue. Then you've got something else inside of you. It's called faithfulness. 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 Believe God is who He was, and God did what He said He's going to do, and God's going to do it. Faithfulness. Are you faithful? Passionate? With conviction? Relying on Christ as the consistency of the new birth, being born again? Are you faithful? Believing with fidelity? Are you got that courage there? Faithfulness. Then there's also meekness. 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 Meekness is a quiet spirit of strength under control. Maintains a texture of humility. It acts in gentleness and kindness. It shows a mildness and quietness of nature. It's not to be considered weakness. It's showing submissiveness unto Christ. It is not a lack of initiative or will, but a quiet spirit with strength, even as Christ humbled Himself and came in the form of servant. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness?" That's quite I understand that. When you come home from work and your kid's been cutting up and they say, "Boy, straightened up?" "Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir." "Well, do you want me to come home and with a belt? You want me to come home and let's go fishing?" "Okay, now which one you want?" "Yeah, you want to go fishing, so you got to get straight, okay?" "I know. Gentleness. Do you want me to come with a rod or with a spirit of gentleness?" That's what he's saying right here. The spirit of gentleness. And that is meekness. I mean, the spirit of meekness. And then there's temperance. And temperance is self-control. It is self-restraint in the face of temptation or desire. It is restraint. It is control. It is self-control. The opposite of it is excess. Let me read this final scripture. It says, 2 Peter 1:5, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control." And that's temperance, self-control. "To self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love." Temperance, temperance, meaning self-control. So let's put all these things together now and let's see, do you qualify? Is this what is inside of you, Leslie? Yes. Yes. Okay, now, because she's already answered, I've got a question for everybody else. Next screen, please. When there's no fruit, what's wrong? Let's look at the next screen. We see that it's all put together right here, and that's what the fruit of the Spirit looks like, and that's what's inside of you. That's what's going to help you walk straight on a crooked road. That's what's going to help you in the easy times and the hard times. That's what's going to help you be known as a Christian, is by the fruit of the Spirit that's in you. But look at the next screen. What is missing? Love. Okay, let's go to the next one. What's missing? Okay, good. Let's go to the next screen. What is missing? Peace. All right, let's go to the next screen. Gentleness. Okay, let's go to the next screen. Joy. Okay, so joy is missing. Oh, what is missing? You see, if the joy is missing, Jesus is missing. If peace is missing, Jesus is missing. If long-suffering is missing, Jesus is missing. You see, it's all or nothing. When Christ comes into your life, it's all or nothing. So may Jesus help you walk straight on a crooked road. The Father sent the Son. The Son gave His life, and He sent the Comforter. And the Comforter walks hand in hand. And the Comforter lives inside of you. The fruit produces all of these categories to help you walk your journey. But if one of them's missing, they're all missing. If they're all missing, Jesus is missing. So the question for you this morning, is Jesus in your heart? If Jesus is in your heart, then you got it all. If Jesus is not in your heart this morning, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Just come on down front and say, "Robert, I want it all." And we'll pray together. Because when Jesus is there, you got it all. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You, we want to come understanding, Lord, that there's a battle going on. There's a light side and there's a dark side of our life. There's the spirit that we want to do, and there's the flesh that we don't want to do. Oh God, what a struggle, what a mess we are. We want to walk straight. We do, Lord, we really do. We need help. Father, I pray that in this time of decision, that people will invite Jesus into their heart. And Father, for those who have Jesus in their heart, I pray for the control of the Holy Spirit. Because when we clean out our life and the Holy Spirit takes control, then this is the fruit that comes. No option. That's the fruit. And because of that love, we're going to be known as Christians. That joy we're going to have in us, even bad circumstances. Peace. Lord, we're going to have oneness, even though our life seems torn to shreds. You bring oneness in the midst of it all. We're going to have endurance. We're going to have the right stuff. We're going to be kind. We're going to be gentle. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be good. And Lord, we're going to be under self-control because the Holy Spirit's going to help us. We need you, Lord. We need you. We pray now for the body of Christ. Lord, as decisions are made this day, Father, as people come to you, God be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Is Jesus in your heart? If He's not, I want you to come. If you're struggling in some areas, maybe the prayer altars is a place that you may want to go to. If there's one of those areas in there that you don't see in your life, remember, it's the controlling work of the Holy Spirit. It's His job to produce it. It's our job to turn over to the Holy Spirit. So if there's an area that you're struggling with, allow the Holy Spirit just to have that area too. And you will produce fruit. That's natural. You will produce fruit. So this morning, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, please come tell me. Prayer altar is going to be open. If you want to be a part of this body of Christ, come let me know. What is God doing in your life today? What decisions do you need to make today? Let's stand together and sing.